Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to Rosedale United Church. My name is Kristen. I'm the minister for worship and spiritual care here. And with me in leadership this morning is our music director, Dr. Sarah Svensson. You've just been hearing our wonderful organ scholar, Oscar Hodgson. And we're just so glad to see all of you here this morning. Welcome to our baptism family. You guys are really rounding out our community this morning. It's wonderful to greet you and to be with you. Rosedale United is a congregation committed to supporting human flourishing here in the heart of Rosedale and in our city. And we gather each week to learn, to grow, and to serve. We're proud to be an affirming congregation. We represent a variety of ages, gender identities, sexualities, family configurations, backgrounds. This is a church where everyone is welcome. I want to flag a couple of announcements, and I do invite you to look at your bulletins to see the full range of what we have going on here at Rosedale United. But most importantly, this Friday, the Rosedale Center is presenting Canadian singer-songwriters Amy Skye and Mark Jordan with their band. Amy Skye is a celebrated songwriter who has written for names like Diana Ross, Anne Murray, Olivia Newton-John, Reba McEntire, Cyndi Lauper, Sheena Easton, and Mark Jordan, equally celebrated, has penned songs for Rod Stewart, Cher, Bette Midler, Chicago, Josh Groban, and they will be performing all of these songs that they have written. And also alongside this concert, Mark will be premiering his art exhibit called Flat Music. It's going to be a fabulous night. Tickets are selling fast, and you can get them online. We encourage you to do so, and we hope to see you there. Another announcement today following the service is our annual general meeting here in the sanctuary. So we'll be serving tea and coffee today right here. You can see that it's all set up. We will have sandwiches and goodies available to sustain you through our meeting. And we do hope that you will stay after the service to socialize and also to celebrate the work of Rosedale United in support of human flourishing, honoring 2025 and looking ahead through 2026. And now in this moment, I invite you to stand in body or spirit as you are able, as we call ourselves to worship. Easter moments appear in budding flowers, in the smell of damp earth, in brighter days, in birdsong and the patter of rain. Easter moments appear in shared grief and memory, in stories and laughter, in commitment to the work of the journey, in the breaking of bread. Easter moments appear, sparks of joy, beacons of hope, calls to action. Let us celebrate the power of new life, deep hope, and renewed love. Let us worship as Easter people. And our opening hymn is found in Voices United. VU means Voices United. That's the red hymn book. We're singing at number 177, This Joyful Easter Tide.
Thank you.
The peace of Christ be with you all. I invite you to turn now and to greet those who are around you with the peace of Christ. We just say, peace be with you, and the response is, and also with you. You can shake hands, you can do prayer hands, but especially reach out to someone you haven't met. I light this candle as a sign of the light of Christ, who draws us together in the warmth of community, who walks alongside us and companions us. And I want to invite us now into a moment of silence. Silence is a gift in our noisy world. It is an opportunity to slow down and to hear what is deep inside of us. So a moment of silence before we gather in prayer. Let us pray. Jesus, come and meet us and walk with us in this time together. Reveal your presence to us as we gather, so that we, like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, whose journey is transformed by you, might be moved to new acts of discipleship, commitment, and courage. Jesus, you taught the disciples when they did not understand the promises of Scripture. You loved the world, even when it wounded you. You revealed the power of community in the generosity of bread broken and shared. And yet we confess that we continue not to understand what matters and the importance of our actions. We continue to choose self-interest and fear over your self-giving love for the world. We continue to make communities small and ignore the power we have together. Forgive us. We pray in your name, trusting in the power of your love, and saying together, O loving parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Truly, we are loved, we are forgiven, we are set free. In this moment, I invite forward for baptism Theodore, along with his parents and godparents. And so on behalf of the congregation of Rosedale United Church, we welcome and receive for baptism Theodore Johnny Jose Quibus, child of Alexandria McHale and Gabriel Quibus. Alexandria and Gabriel, do you affirm your faith in God, source of love, in Jesus Christ, love incarnate, and in the Holy Spirit, love's power? If so, say, we do. Will you affirm your willingness to follow in the way of Jesus Christ, loving and serving others, resisting oppression and evil, seeking justice, and witnessing to God's love for all creation? If so, say, we will, God being our helper. And will you do your best to raise Theodore in the community of the church, here and at home, teaching him about the Christian faith and encouraging him to seek confirmation so that together you might grow in faith? If so, say, we will, God being our helper. And to the godparents, recognizing that many people nurture the life of a child, will you support Theodore as he grows in faith? If so, say, we will.
We will.
And to the gathered congregation, brothers and sisters in Christ, do you receive this child in Christ's name as you have also been received, promising to support these members and this community with constant love, Christian teaching, and faithful prayer? Are you willing to accept this holy work? What is the full name of your child?
Theodore Johnny Jose Quibus.
Okay, come forward. Theodore Johnny Jose Quibus, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, parent of us all. And I mark you with the sign of the cross, a sign of love incarnate. May the Holy Spirit, love's power, guide you and inspire you and work within you all the days of your life. You are precious. You are God's child, a part of all that is sacred. We welcome you into the community of faith. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with kindness and give you peace. Amen. And so I declare that Theodore Quibus has been baptized and welcomed into the universal, that is the Catholic Church. Will you please signal your affirmation with applause? In this moment, I'll invite Pam to come forward for our scripture readings. And a question for you to open our theme this morning. I'm wondering, and this is a question just for you in your own hearts, it's not to share with anyone, but I'm wondering if you can think of a time in your life where a person or a community taught you about new life or showed it to you before you could recognize it yourself. When did a person or a community support you in finding new life before you could see it or feel it yourself? I invite you into just a moment of reflection while Sarah plays.
Let us pray. O God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love. Amen. A reading from the book of Acts, chapter 21, verse 14 and 36 to 41. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, lest this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God had made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. In these ancient words, may we find wisdom for living today. A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Now on that day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" he asked them. "What things?" they replied. "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded, since they were at the tomb early this morning, and they did not find his body when they came back, and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found, and just as the women said, but did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe that all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah would suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then he told them what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. May God bless to us our understanding this reading from our Holy Scriptures.
From Friends, we stand and sing in response from the Red Book, number 168, The Risen Christ. Please be seated. We open our hearts and turn our minds, our intentions, and all of our goodwill toward our wider community as we lift up now the prayers of the community. Let us pray. Eternal Spirit, breath of our breath, spirit of our spirit, blanketing the earth with fog, gently refreshing the growth, nourishing the soil with rains, reaching to the roots of existence, brightly shining sun, warming the earth and all that is. Your spirit's movement was and is, and always will be pulsing through creation, nourishing and nurturing, birthing and enlivening, prodding and supporting. We give thanks for the blessings of each day, time to spend with family and friends, a variety of foods to nourish our bodies, fresh air to breathe, clean water in abundance, homes that are warm and safe, and the sounds of peace surrounding us. As we dwell with these blessings, keep us ever mindful that not all people know these blessings. As we honor Earth Day this week, stir in us the desire to be voices of justice, peace, and reconciliation within our community, our country, and beyond our borders. Empower us to protect our planet in deeds and not just in words. We pray for justice, peace, and reconciliation. We yearn for justice, peace, and reconciliation. And we work for justice, peace, and reconciliation. As we serve being the hands and feet of Christ in the world, make us aware of your presence with us and within us, hastening the work that needs to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll invite you to join with me in our response and offering. We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gifts of God as a blessing for the world. So in this moment, you're invited into what we call a sacred gesture to honor any prayers that are on your heart this morning that you have brought with you into this sanctuary. Our sacred gesture is lighting a candle. And so you can come and light a candle in honor of a prayer that's on your heart or a person or place that's on your mind. And you can see that we have candles up front on the table and also on either side of our sanctuary. And so you are invited to stand and light a candle if you like. Equally, you're invited just to stay where you are and enjoy a moment of quiet and the music. And if you feel moved to support the life and the work and the mission of this congregation, you can also use this time to make an offering. And our offering box is at the back. This moment is yours, and we invite you into it. Thank you. Thank you, choir. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A few years ago, I shattered my elbow when I tripped while I was out for a run. And just 1 week after having surgery to repair my broken bones, the surgeon declared me good as new. Time to take the cast off, he said, calling a nurse to cut through the plaster. Out of the protective shell of the cast, my arm felt like a dead weight. I couldn't move it an inch without support, and it was hinged at a 90-degree angle, and the incision the surgeon had sewn up looked like part of Frankenstein's face. And my forearm was swollen to twice its normal size. "Looks great," the surgeon said cheerily, "like new." But I couldn't see it, and I certainly didn't feel it. We heard a couple of weeks ago the Easter story. And in the version we heard this year from the Gospel of Matthew, Mary Magdalene and another woman named Mary go to the tomb, and when they arrive, the earth quakes, and the stone is rolled away, and an angel appears telling the women that Jesus has been raised. The angel urges the women to go and tell the disciples, and as they're going, they meet Jesus himself. The reality of new life and of God's power is confirmed for them in an instant. But for most of us, an experience of new life and healing isn't always so straightforward. We can't always see it right away or recognize it right away, and we don't necessarily feel it. The celebration of the empty tomb at Easter might lead us to assume that God produces new life for everyone and for our world overnight. And so I'm really glad that we got to hear Luke's story of Jesus' appearance to the disciples on the road to Emmaus today. The story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus is another Easter story about an experience of new life that is more of a long process than an event and not immediately recognizable. If the deep and holy life that was in Jesus had risen, these disciples didn't know it immediately. The disciples on the road to Emmaus have no idea who they're talking to when they meet the risen Christ. "What are you discussing together?" Jesus asks them as he comes up alongside them on the road. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they had replied. "We had hoped that he was going to be the one to redeem us." Most of the disciples in the different gospel accounts aren't suddenly filled with a conviction of God's power and the reality of the possibility of new life and healing in the immediate aftermath of Easter. When we meet most of them, they're hiding, anxious, fearful, and new life is only something they can see and recognize with time. Never having broken a bone before I broke my elbow, the process of healing and of coming back to life, so to speak, was a mystery to me. As a child, I'd seen kids in my class at school with casts and had cousins who'd broken limbs, and from my vantage point, getting fixed up and made new seemed pretty painless and straightforward. I used to wish I could break a limb just so I'd have a cast people could sign. You get a cast, you get it removed, healed. But sitting in that hospital room, cradling my red and swollen arm, it became apparent to me that I was at the very beginning of a potentially long and painful process, and that while I had, in fact, been made new, it would be a long time before I would be able to really recognize it, and that it would still require work and effort and participation on my part. I was sent to a bright room in which there were all kinds of people at various stages of the process of coming back to life, of finding new life. Some hoisted themselves along a kind of narrow walkway with bars on either side that they could hold on to for support. And I saw others trying to walk up a miniature staircase, while others soaked swollen wounds in buckets of ice. A physiotherapist stretched my elbow joint as hard as she could to try to move it beyond where it had stuck at 90 degrees, and then pushed it hard in the other direction toward my shoulder. There is the Easter event, the resurrection, God's raising of Jesus to new life. And some of us have similar experiences of healing and renewal in our own lives, where coming back to life happens seemingly overnight. And some can see it right away, but for others, recognizing new life and really feeling it within themselves is not instantaneous. More than an event, coming back to life and recognizing new life or growing toward new life can be a long process. It makes sense then that Easter is an entire season in the Christian calendar, not one single day, but 50 days, ending with the celebration of Pentecost, which is a Greek translation of the Hebrew word Shavuot. Our 50-day season has its origins in Shavuot, which in Jesus' time was observed as a Jewish harvest festival, a feast celebrated after counting off the days for a period of 7 weeks, about the time it took for the wheat crops to go from grain to harvest. In Jesus' time, the counting of the days began on the second night of Passover. The spiritual practice was to wave a sheaf of barley, and you would continue this nightly 7 days a week for 7 weeks, a period of 49 days, and the 50th day was the Feast of Shavuot, the Feast of Pentecost in Greek, when the wheat was ready and the counting came to an end. In the book Seasons of Our Joy, A Modern Guide to the Jewish Holidays, Arthur Waskow describes this season as a trek through anxiety and hope. It's a season with the design to support people through a period when new life isn't immediately apparent. The mood isn't celebratory, but worried and tense. It's a season that looks forward to new life, realized the bounty of an abundant and healthy harvest, by which the whole community will be renewed, but at a time when that new and abundant is not yet recognizable. For weeks, the harvest is barely visible. It exists only in the realm of possibility. The seed is planted, new life is there, but the shoots and growth aren't yet visible. The waving of that sheaf of barley as they did in ancient days and counting the weeks wasn't an act of superstition as much as it was a means of embodying prayer from people at the very beginning of a long trek through anxiety and hope before they made it through to new life. In Jesus' day, it was a ritual that helped and supported people through to new life before they could see it for themselves. In the Christian tradition, our scripture stories shed understanding and insight on what can support us and carry us through as we journey to new life before we can see it and feel it for ourselves. The story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus is a quiet story. It's about two people walking who strike up a conversation with a stranger on the road and then share a meal together. These three talk. They try to get to the bottom of the meaning of Scripture together. They break bread. They do, in essence, what Christian church communities have always done and continue to do. And in these simple activities, they come to realize that the risen Christ and God's power to create new life have been there with them all along. It's a story about the power of community to make new life real, especially the power of our church communities when they're at their best, to walk alongside people and support them and be present to them until they can see the reality of new life for themselves. When Steve and I found out we were going to have our first child, it came as a surprise. We were living in a basement suite. Steve had exactly $45 in his bank account. And at the time, I was working at Runnymede United Church on my internship, and the women of that church hosted a baby shower for me. And I felt kind of like I felt in the surgeon's office after having my cast removed, unsure if I would really be okay, a bit vulnerable, a bit tender. But it was that church community and their celebration and their support that made new life real for me and my own strength and power and confidence real until I could feel it for myself. Another time, this was here at Rosedale United, I experienced a stillbirth. It's why there's such an age gap between our oldest kids and our youngest. And I couldn't see at that time how I could possibly emerge from that experience to see anything resembling life again. I couldn't see it, I didn't feel it. But this community carried me and my family along and carried us through. You shared your own stories. You showed by your own lives that healing was possible. You showed how God's power and love had worked through you. And I imagine you will have your own stories of the power of church communities to walk alongside you, to break bread with you, to create a lifeline until you could recognize new life and see it and feel it for yourself. It's really lucky that this story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus falls on the day of our annual general meeting, when we're celebrating the work of our church community to walk alongside people as Jesus did until new life becomes real for them. That's what I see you all doing. You walk alongside, companioning people, sharing a smile, creating music and singing that helps people process emotions, pouring hot drinks on cold days, making a point of talking to people you don't know, working to raise money for programs like the Out of the Cold and Anishinaabe Street Health, volunteering with refugee sponsorship, sharing your donations with places like St. Luke's so they can afford a minister and for their food security and newcomer programs to keep going, collecting warm coats for people who need them, funding Indigenous Truth and Reconciliation to challenge the legacy of colonialism, funding this building and its staff so it can be a center for human flourishing through the arts and wellness and concerts and connection, visiting and calling people when they're sick, taking meals when someone in the community is grieving. You simply walk alongside people, making the new life God creates real, often before others can see it or feel it for themselves. Our season of Easter is the same length as the number of days in the Jewish celebration of Shavuot, 49 plus 1. It's a season of 7 days times 7 weeks, a whole Sabbath season, you could say, because to begin to see and recognize new life takes time. It's a process that doesn't always happen overnight. I say all this to remind you that Jesus is risen, that new life is possible, even if it's not apparent for you right now. In times like these, I want you to remember this perspective on Easter to remind you that new life is more of a process than an event, a counting of days and weeks, and that it may not be a comfortable season. New life often requires our own work and effort until one day we notice a change, a shoot, growth. When that happens, you too will be a witness to these things, to the deep and holy life that is rising in us, good as new. Amen. Friends, I invite us to stand as we sing our closing hymn. Again, it's in your red book, and it's number 183, We Meet You, O Christ. Friends, we go from here into a new week knowing that we do not go alone. Alongside us is the love of God which surrounds us, the companionship of Christ who moves alongside us and carries us, and the power of the Holy Spirit always inspiring within. We go to make all of this real for others, to walk alongside them. And we bless each other as we go. And you'll find the words of our new sung blessing for this Easter season in your program.